Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everyone to today's City on a
Hill. This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Bellowwood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Ruth Brian White, and I'm with Breaking News Journal, and I know Diana it will be on any second now of City on a Hill. It's just a pleasure to be on City on a Hill today. She is having a special guest for everyone, and I think you guys are going to really be excited, especially those of you who are who have been to the movies 2, 3, or 4, 100 times to see the wonderful movie War Rooms. I know it's a household name now, and everybody's gone to see it for the most part. And Diana's going to have one of the superstars of the program of the movie on City on a Hill today. And I'm co-hosting. I'm Ruth Brian White with Breaking News Journal Media, and we're just waiting for the host herself to come on and the guests that are Mr. Stoller of the head. He's the superstar of the movie War Rooms. Well, before she gets on the air, I want to welcome everyone, and then also I want to tell everybody we have some very, very good news, those of you who have been keeping up with Breaking News Journal. Breaking News Journal is we're sealing the deal and have sealed the deal with the Crown Plaza Hotel in Houston, Texas for January 29th and through the 31st of 2016, and we are having the It's About the Child Conference in Houston, Texas, and we would like you all to join us because we are losing our children every day to media. We're losing our children every day when they're on their cell phones and iPads and home entertainment centers, and they're getting so much propaganda news and TV programs. And we, Breaking News Journal, are getting ready to launch the Breaking News Journal TV channel at the station in Houston, Texas, and we will have programs all over for you guys to see clean programs, because a lot of people are taking their kids off of programs. They're taking their own selves off of programs because they do not like what's on TV. So we're going to do a lot of things. We're going to launch the TV channel, and you can go to www.itsaboutthechild.com, see how you can get involved with the Dream Channels, and we're having live streamed events where we're going to be showing two movies, Indoctrination, as well as Escaping Common Core. And then we're going to do a 2016 presidential candidates town hall meeting. So tell all your candidates and everybody in your cities and states to click on and get the pay-per-view live stream ticket for the event, which will be on January the 30th, 2016, in Houston, Texas. You also want to get the channels. We have a variety of channels, and the most important ones are because for our children, and we're having the Ubiquitous Learning Channel, and by Professor Steve White of the Master Educators Tutoring Service and Exchange, and the author of the curriculum, Math Soup for Scared People. Again, Math Soup for Scared People. And Diana's going to have a two-hour special in Houston. And hello.
Hey, Rizzi.
Are you there?
We are happy. Yes, I am. Unfortunately, our guest, we've got a slight problem, and we are not able to get him through. So we're going to see if, you know, he can try to come on, and we'll just keep talking. And if
yes.
not, I'm sure they'll arrange for him to be rescheduled for another time. So, but thanks
wow.
for keeping up the show, Ruthie.
Well, I didn't know.
The show must go on.
The show must go on. That's exactly what they say in Hollywood. So I was explaining to everybody about the conference and about our host, the guest today that's coming on from War Rooms, and then I got into telling them about getting prepared for the conference in Houston, Texas. It's About the Child Conference. So you guys can go to www.itsaboutthechild.com and see everything that's up there. There's a lot of wild stuff for you to see and get your kids involved in and stuff. But anyway, I just wanted to keep everything going until you got here. Go ahead, Diana.
Well, I'll go ahead and talk about the movie. How about that? You know, we
How
are just
that?
Really thankful to God for this movie for such a time as this. Somebody had a calling and answered that calling with, getting this movie up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it twice already, and, you know, I was just really struck. And our guest is not here, but, you know, Ruthie, if folks have not seen it, they owe it to themselves. You know, majority of Americans, unfortunately,
yeah.
find themselves divorced, single.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad mm-hmm. state of affairs. You know, the enemy is
mm-hmm.
a liar, and he wants to steal,
mm-hmm.
kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy
mm-hmm.
the family, because that's
mm-hmm.
the very
mm-hmm.
foundation, really, that God has, you know, put in this nation. I just love to think about the history and the founding fathers and those that rode on that small ship, you know, the Mayflower, and
mm-hmm.
you just think of how they were squeezed tight in that, you know, so many nights,
mm-hmm.
you know, having to be cooped up in that
yeah.
boat, big, humongous boat to us maybe, but to them with
mm-hmm.
so many people in it. It had to be pretty
mm-hmm.
tight, and to
mm-hmm.
do it, to go to an unknown world through unknown waters, because they love their children. You know, I'm just so overtaken with the fact that they were leaving Holland because they did not like what was happening to their children. It's like the children, you know, were not being raised up the way that they want them, which was in the training and admonition of the Lord. So, and I think we're at this, you know, we're here and just, you know, you and I, we're in the battle to try to get the kids to be the best they can be. But let's face it, if both parents are not in the household, it's very hard, very difficult. And that movie was so moving to see P.C. Stallings in the part that he played, you know, as the husband. I'm not going to give away the story, but I am going to, I think one of the most moving parts of it, one of the most moving parts of it to me was when the husband, the father, finally got it that, you know, that something was happening in his wife's closet. And it was pretty holy.
Amen.
Pretty holy.
Amen.
And it made a difference. So I just, you know, it's that. That's what we need. I think that's why, like you were saying, it's such a hit because women are, you know, are looking for a man that you know, they don't have to be perfect, but finally gets it, right? A man that finally gets it. He's got to chase God, not women.
Absolutely.
Not other women anyway.
Oh man, tell me about it. See, that's true because people ask me all the time. Steve and I, Professor White and I, have been married for 35 years, and people ask how we keep our relationship together. And we have always been prayers. We were Christians when we met each other, and he had come out of a cult and he was very well known and respected in high regards in the cult that he came out of. And then he became a Christian. And the thing that we did together as a couple, if we always put God first, then we put each other second. And you have to understand what you get married to somebody for, because if you marry someone for money and then things happen where they lose their job or something like that, then, you know, and you're upset at them because, you know, the finances are not there or the style of living that you had is no longer there, it can cause a major rift in the household. And I did not get married to my husband under those pretenses. I got married to him because he was a man of God and that he loved God first, and then he loved my children, and then he loved me, and all the things that went along with our relationship. He was there 100% or 150% or 200%. He was always there. He's not a jealous person. All these things, and we're always communicating with each other. We love to communicate. We love to do things together. Everything we pretty much do together, except for when he's going off somewhere to teach. Because I don't know math that well, and he's a math person, a specialist. But other than that, we do almost everything together.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it was meant to be. Like we were talking earlier, you know, most marriages start off with love, and you certainly don't sign on saying I do to learn to hate each other.
Mm-mm.
You know, but it seems like that's what we're seeing is, you know, we're seeing more and more people self-destruct. And I think that comes from forgetting, you know, you can't stay married without God. It's just really, you might can, but a lot of times it ends up very unhappy people without God.
In today's world, it is almost impossible. It is almost impossible because everybody's bombarded. That's why the movie is so important, and that's why people are so hungry for it. Because, you know, I had a cousin that already seen it 3 times, and then other people, War Room, 3 times, and then other people are seeing it over and over again, and they tell other people about it and stuff like that. And I think that what you're seeing is people are hungry. They know what kind of a life they were raised in, and they are hungry for something different. You know, and God is the change, although he's always been there for them. They just didn't know how to find him, and they were so bombarded in media that they had nowhere else to go.
Oh, really, really. And it's just reverberating, you know, one good movie after another, Ruthie. You know, I think people are tired, maybe even past tired. You know, we hear that with people that almost want to throw their hands up. But I'm thinking, you know, when you've got children, you really cannot throw your hands up.
You can't.
Because, they're not going to have a future if we throw our hands up. So that's why we've got to really support movies like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God that there's Christian people out there like the Kindred Brothers that,
mm-hmm.
you know, would put the script onto, you know, the movie screen so that others that are hurting, others that don't know what's wrong, others that want to fix their marriage but don't know how. My goodness, this is I know, reverberating with the majority of people because, you know, they're seeing something at work. And really, there's nothing new under the sun, is there, Ruthie? I mean, really, the Bible is so full of old-time learning. I think we're just a little bit stubborn sometimes. It's like, no, that's old-fashioned, right, Ruthie? That's old-fashioned.
That's what they try to say. God is the same yesterday and today and forever, so there ain't nothing old-fashioned about him, because I'm living proof there's nothing old-fashioned about him.
Well, I think, you know, the true measure of success is really not money. It's not wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can look at people like, who was that built the airplane? Hughes. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, Howard
Hughes.
Yes,
Howard Hughes. And how did he die? He died without clothes on. He didn't want anything to touch him because he was afraid of germs. And, you know, you hear horrible stories like that. You know, so many horrible stories like that of people who had more than money could buy.
I remember the picture of Howard Hughes. I remember the image of him. They showed a picture of him. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was like a drawing of him when he died. And his toes had curled and his fingers had grown out. And oh, it was just awful, you know, the way he looked, you know, when they found him and everything. And it's like, you know, but he didn't have God. You know, so he was, you know, he was running from this and that, at that and the other. He had all kinds of phobias and all kinds of issues. And, you know, he was a racist, too, you know, because I live here in Las Vegas, and I found that, you know, there's a lot of things that he put into motion that he did not want any people to be a part of. He felt that people of color or whatever had deserved to be a certain kind of way or to be slaves to somebody else, you know, like in the kitchen or busboys or whatever the case may be. And so there was a lot of things that I'm just starting to find out about him, although I believe in seeing histories and stuff like that. But anyway, the War Room, I don't want to get sidetracked on that, because that War Room movie is vitally important. And I know all the people that played in it. I guess based on what you said, Diana, that people are, you know, that you just feel the presence of God in the presence of the actors, really, it seems like that they really lived the roles that they played.
Well, you know, I can be wrong in judgment of people. Many times I have been at that, but I would hope that, you know, that the people that's in this movie, they weren't just acting. You know, you could kind of see a relaxed attitude in the face of even Lucy Stallings, you know, in the part of right there at the end where he's enjoying his daughter, you know. You could just tell this is a man that probably loves children, you know, loves his children, would do anything for his children. So I'm believing that, you know, they didn't just find anybody to fill a movie. I'm hoping and believing that these people are for real. They're, you know, they're really Christians, and they're not just filling in a part, because we know there's more to success than, unfortunately, what Hollywood can offer.
Well, there's something to it because of the fact that the directors, I wouldn't say take a risk, but in the Hollywood language, that would be taking a risk. But I think the reason why they were able to successfully do this is because, you know, Roma Downey and Mark Burnett in Hollywood led the way last year with their History Channel version of the Bible. You know, they put, about $35 million into making that movie, that history, that series of the Bible. And a lot of people, then they started, you know, then the movies just started rolling out. People just started rolling out movies, about God and about, you know, all of it is not absolutely accurate, but they started getting into biblical things. And that's why what they've done with War Room is so important. It's getting to the heart of where we are, not just talking about Bible stories and stuff like that, but actually getting into the heart of where we are and where we need to change. And I think so many people went there. And saw that, and I know a lot of people after they left that movie were probably praying for their husbands or their wives or asking God for forgiveness if they did something that they had no business doing. And I mean fully repenting, not just you know, saying something, but actually repenting and asking God to turn them from their wicked ways. And we all have done wicked things, and every day we have to ask God for forgiveness for the things that we do. But you know what I'm talking about when you're talking about serving God, because your body is not your own. You were bought with a price.
Yeah, thanks for...
Hello. She might be joining me, ladies and gentlemen. She might be trying to get our good guy on now, and that's probably why she has gone away, because he may be trying to get in, and I don't know what has happened, but I do know that there has been an enormous amount of problems on Blog Talk Radio, and that may be the problem. There have been a lot of people that have been having problems on the Blog Talk, and they're trying to get it straightened out, but it's going into almost 6 weeks now of different kinds of technical difficulties. So maybe that will be taken care of and it will be changed. But I don't know if any one of you are wanting to call in and talk about this issue. Have you seen the movie? The number is 310-742-1860. Again, 310-742-1860. If you want to call in, if you've seen the movie War Room, then if you have a comment about it, please give us your comments and encourage the stars that were involved in the movie. Friend them or Facebook them and Twitter them and let them know that you saw the movie and how much you liked their part in the movie. I think that would be a wonderful thing. So, you know, you guys get out there and get involved. Let's be active in it. There's a lot going on. I was going to ask the guest if he was familiar with the Hollywood Prayer Network, because, you know, if all of us who are producers and stuff like that can work together, you know, we can really make a real major dent in media and in the entertainment industry and in Hollywood. And they ask us to don't forget them in the Hollywood Prayer Network. That, you know, they ask us not to forget them. We're going to be launching a TV channel for the Hollywood Prayer Network, and there are a lot of big directors and producers that are involved in that organization that are praying for Hollywood and praying for each other, because those people need a lot of jobs too, because the Hollywood industry, they're usually unemployed between 70 and 90-something percent. The workers and producers and directors are unemployed at any given time, and that's what we're going to change with the Breaking News Journal TV channel when we launch in January or before, because there's a lot of major things going on. So there's a lot happening out there. There you are.
I am excited about that, Ruthie. I think people's not going to know. They're probably going to have the same feeling as I have, which is, don't pinch me awake, please, if I'm dreaming. Because, you know, I mean, you can see how popular conservative values are. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw it when Hollywood finally puts out good movies, people really come and see them, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
they're really what people are craving for, and for too long they've not been answering that craving. And
mm-hmm,
we see the
mm-hmm.
same thing, I think, in television. I mean, the latest thing here is a movie on ABC Family called The Medium, And, you know, it airs. A child could be watching a cartoon, Ratatouille, all the time. There's a promo, and it's the medium. And what is that about? I looked it up. The bio of this person, she is, I think, a student from the University of Pennsylvania, and she talks to the spirit and counsels. She gives people helpful counseling. And I'm thinking, that is not good. I mean, evil being called good, I don't know what is. And this is why we have to really make a stand for clean media, good media, like the War Room and others, because the enemy is so busy trying to suck in the young people. And I feel so badly for young people that have no foundation, they have no Christian family, so they don't understand what the Bible says. It's a curse to have anything to do with this stuff. It's a curse. So they don't know. And to me, it's a sin for these people to be promoting it. And the Bible is very clear. It's better to hang a millstone tied around your neck and, be thrown into the deepest parts of the sea than to leave the little ones to sin. These are going to be kids the age of accountability. These are young people, our youth. And, when's America going to say enough? When is the church going to say enough? I'm praying that we're at that point, that they say enough, and that they will embrace, Ruthie, what you and your husband have dreamed to do. So, we're so grateful for the War Room, and I think it's a signal of the fact that America is ready, ripe and ready. We need something. We're desperate for something, good media. And, I'm thankful for the directors, the producers, everybody that was involved in this movie, The War Room. I just really, every part of it, I think I could see why I could see it again and again. It's, because it's like a puzzle on a puzzle. Certain things will probably show up in your mind better than the last time. That's the way it happened with me the second time. I saw things, T.C. Stallings really stood out. The first time it was the wife, but the second time T.C. Stallings, as an actor, was just great. He made me cry when he went into the closet. But he's just so powerful. So he's not here for us to thank him, but I don't know if we'll get him back. We just really want to tell the audience, please make an investment. Bring everyone in your family. Goodness, spend that money. It's an investment for good. And I think, it's like seed planting, right? I mean, if you want to be a missionary but you can't go overseas, hey, take them to this movie. That's mission work right there.
It really is. It really is mission work. We want to do it. We got to deal with it at home. And, as much as I believe in missions, we have a major mission field in this country, and it has had a void for a long, long time. And this movie, among other things, are starting to fill in that void and bring life again to this country. And then I think it's helping a lot of people have hope again, because we lost the hope, especially for the last maybe 8 or 9 years. The country has just been going down the tubes. And it just seems like there hadn't been anything to stop it, But now, if people can stop this nonsense in their hearts, then you can turn things around, and be bold in the Lord. And that doesn't mean always preaching a thumb in, thumping the Bible around somebody. But, you can show them in love, but don't shy away from the things of God. Be real, people.
Yeah. And Ruthie, I think too, we were talking this morning and asking God for a word. People have forgotten what was said about the Bible. It's still true. It is the living Bible.
Yes.
And if you will, if you're sincerely seeking Him, right? I love Amos 5:6. It says, "Seek the Lord and live." Whatever your problem is, if you will seek the Lord, you can live. And I love it because we were, asking God for a word, and I turned the Bible.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. I could not sound it. And, we knew T.C. Stallings was coming on, and, we were asking for a word regarding T.C., and here it was. We were turning to 1 Corinthians 7, Instructions on Christian Marriage. It said, "Now concerning things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her husband." Mm-hmm. Oh, and let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. And likewise, also the wife unto the husband. And I just love it that God is, you know, that movie really was about how to save your marriage. If you want to save your marriage, you know, you've got to remember what God says about it. And he's saying, save yourselves for each other. You know, you were made in the image of God. You were not made in the image of an animal. God did not make you a dog that doesn't care whether they're married or not. You know, he did not breathe life into a dog. He breathed. Isn't that awesome when you really think God breathed life into man and made his image? How special is man? And then we debase it. When we treat women and men treat, you know, themselves as, you know, just nothing really. It's like somebody said, a credit card, you just change, you know, wear one out, another, wear one out, get another one, you know. That is not what God intended for you. And I think, you know, you got to fight it the way the Warren showed us beautifully, which is on your knees. It was so beautiful to see them praying together. And I just, I think every family that watches that, they're going to come out of there stronger.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be some of the wisest investment with your money you have ever made. And I just pray that this movie will reach out internationally everywhere, that it will just make, you know, so many people be able to rise up and save their marriages because of the God instruction that's in there. You got to fight for your marriage in prayer on your knees.
Amen. You know, you said something. You said something very important earlier, and when we were talking about, I think it was before we came on the air, and you were talking about that there was no sex scenes and stuff like that in the movie and things like that. And what I started thinking about it. Thank God, you know. But I thought, and we had to talk to TC about it. I thought about the fact that maybe they didn't have a sex scene in it because they both have husbands and wives. So, you know, so they didn't want to be kissing on each other when they know they have their own spouses and stuff like that. And I started thinking back about all these actors and stuff over the years when I was in Hollywood and how they had were kissing on people in the scenes because they were the main stars and stuff, and then their marriages break up because there's something spiritual that is happening that should not be happening, and you should not be putting your lips on somebody else's husband. I don't care if you are getting paid for it, and would you, you know what I'm saying? It's like they're getting paid to do this, and it's causing a destruction, and people say you're free to do this and you're free to do that in some of these loose marriages, but you're not free, and they know it, and they feel it, and that's why they get mad when you go and do something that you have no business doing in the first place. And if that's the reason, I wanted to talk to TC about that, because if that is the reason they did not have a sex scene or a kiss scene in the movie, that is a wonderful thing because of the fact that they're saying, hey, I'm already married. Because I told my husband, I said, I would never be an actor. I said, because there's no way they're going to have me putting my lips on somebody. I'm not going to put my lips on nobody, so I would never make any money.
Well, you know, it didn't take away from the movie whatsoever. To me, those things never take away from the movie anyway, because, you know, I don't watch it to watch that stuff. You know, unless you're wanting pornographic stuff. I mean, do you really watch it for that? No. And for it to be, oh, some people will say, well, it makes it more real.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, because most families don't do that in public anyway. So, you know, Hollywood tends to shock us as if it's just the thing that everybody does. You know, it's out there for you to see, but no. And so it was so natural, Ruthie, to watch it and not see any, you know, sex scenes, even kissing scenes, you know. I mean, to me, you were so focused on their message, and it didn't even bother me until it was over. Wow, how clean and how wonderful, and the message was so powerful. And of course, Miss Clara. And the wife, and even the little girls, everybody was just incredible. You felt like you were really watching real life, you know, not just actors. I mean, you know, it was so beautifully done. And I'm just so proud for the Kendrick brothers because they've reached that stature. Now, they may not get an Oscar, but who cares? You know,
mm-mm.
I guess
they'll
if you care
Oscar
about success.
In
yeah, if you care about success in the eyes of man, I guess you would want an Oscar. But if you care about success in the eyes of God, my goodness, that you don't hold a candle, does it?
Mm-mm. Oh boy, this is going to be really good. This is going to be really good. I don't look at the Academy Awards much anymore because I think that their standards have gotten so low since. I think it was Queen Latifah. I think she did a massive homosexual marriage on the Academy Awards. I think that was last year or the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it just lost all credibility. I think the last time I actually saw the Academy Awards is when Crash won, and I think my son-in-law was one of the producers for the Kodak Theater, and he and they won for Crash. Crash, did you see? You didn't see that, but you can go on video and you can see how everybody was excited when Crash won, and it was up against Brokeback Mountain, and I know you know what Brokeback Mountain was about. So they won it, and everybody was simultaneously just jumped up screaming and hollering. I have never seen that in all the years I've seen the Academy Awards. They were excited that they won over that, and I know everybody else was too. We were in tears.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it can happen again, and maybe they have War Room would be the excitement in the room for the Academy Awards this time. You know, and the only way that I probably would even think about watching it is if they're going to be up for a nomination.
Wow. Well, I think in my eyes they've already, you know, won an award.
Amen.
That was great acting and great show. And I was thinking, Ruthie, about when you really think about it, most of it was really dialogue until the very end, you know, which the action at the very end was super. And that's all, I think one of the Kendrick brothers was in there, too. I mean, the other one was there. But there was the other one, I think, was on the end of it, too, if I saw that right. But you know, they just really made you see how much it can be fun to be sober and, you know, not drunk. Being, you know, full of the Lord can be a lot of fun. It's really more fun.
And that's what it should be. That's what we need. Well, that's because that's what training is about. That's what it's like, showing them that there's another way that they didn't realize was. And anything that becomes popular, they'll jump on it, and we don't care because we want God to get the glory anyway. So that's what's happening now.
And he is, I think. So I hope this movie keeps in the theaters, folks. And from yesterday, from what I heard, it was the going thing yesterday. So,
yeah.
Like it was doing really well. It was the best one as far as, you know, people coming in to see. So I think that was great for a Tuesday.
That means it's probably going to be there again, because today, after today, they changed the movies for Thursday all through next week, next Wednesday. And so that means all the theaters in the country, they start changing the rules. But if the movie is doing well, I don't see how they can avoid it.
Oh, I hope it's there for a good long time, and I hope internationally too. And Ruthie, I guess we need to promote our event. Since TC didn't make it, we've talked a little bit about it, and I know you've talked a little bit about it, but folks, you know, this is why we love the movie. It's about how to help that child, and you can help that child by really helping families. And this is a movie that's going to help, you know, that family and that child together, because the child needs the parents to be there to protect that child. Unfortunately,
right.
It's already been proven. You know, there was an article that came out, I think Jane Robbins and Emmett McGordy of American Principles Project was talking about the fact that, you know, they've got, that the federal government admitted that, yes, the Race to the Top was their plan to pretty much get in the state to give up their standards. And we know we knew that because we saw that in Alabama.
We knew it.
Our governor signed it. Yeah, our governor signed it January 2010. The standards were not even published till June. And so the standards were very warped. I mean, it was made with people that were not even educators. And that's why you've got a 300% increase in eighth graders cutting themselves. That's the first sign that New York saw, couldn't figure it out. And then there were others having to take psychotropic drugs, you know, having to take all sorts of drugs just to even go to school. And I hate to say it, it's even been tied to suicide. So, you know, we are on a very serious mission here, folks. We want you to come January 29th to the 31st to go and listen to the live stream of itsaboutthechild.com. It's a website. Itsaboutthechild.com. And go, you know, watch that conference. We're going to give you the A through Z on what's going on in education, the transformation. This is why more people are homeschooling. You know, the parents cannot help with the math. And, you know, we're going to do some solutions here, and part of it is Professor Steve, but we really need for you to be there. The live stream is not but $10 for 3 days. My goodness, you will throw that away probably this week. You know, it's not, some people throw that almost every day. So we're talking about an investment because God says my people perish for lack of knowledge, and most parents don't know that their children's minds are being abused. Who would really want to put up with abuse? But you're doing it because you don't know any better. You know, you don't know there's such a thing that we're fighting as Common Core. You're in la-la land. You know, everything's good at your house. But what you don't realize, even if you're homeschooling that child and everything's good in your house, the children, the majority of the children that's going to surround that child are going to be raised up to be thugs because they're not going to be able to hold good jobs. And they're not even thinking about respecting anybody. I mean, all they're going to do is kind of like what Joan Landis, mental health worker, that did a video in the beginning about this. She said it's going to make children really very stressed because it's developmentally age inappropriate. You know, it's just making them stressed out because it's not the right level what's being pushed at them, you know, hard at certain levels and then just really easy on the top part. They call it rigorous because it's hard on the younger level when it doesn't need to be there. But anyway, she says, you know, Diana, this is going to make people, this is going to make the kids easily manipulated. There's a lot of consensus groups being formed where they, you know, rely on each other, not on the teacher telling them what's right, but on each other. So, you know, there is everything's going to be based on opinions. You know, don't kill anybody because why? You know, it's crazy stuff that they're talking about. But anyway... And one of them was, you know, they're learning argumentative writing skills. I saw that on a book, a supplement, argumentative. Oh, my goodness. And then another one that says, you know, do a survey on the First Amendment. Figure out which one you'd like to give up. So that's, that's being taught to your child in the school. And wake up, folks,
so
private
nice.
Schools, too.
It sounds so good and nice with ice cream and cherries on top and whipped cream, and it seems so nice. Figure out which one you want to give up. Are you
and they're
out
gonna
of
do
your
a survey.
Mind?
They're going to do a survey with their classmates and the community. Let's get the conversation going because really we can afford to let go of part of our rights.
Well, you know, if it's important to you, for your children's lives to be saved in this way, because we know that children get bored and very easily. So if your children are on their cell phones and they're on their iPads and they're watching TV at the home alone because families are gone or whatever the case may be, you know, they're getting all kind of information. They're getting indoctrinated with all kinds of stuff. And you're not there to say them. You think that they're peaceful and they're being quiet, but they are becoming monsters because they don't have any guidance. And when they are watching a program, that program is teaching them what to do. The TV is being your child's mentor. The TV is being your child's guide. The TV is being your child's parent. And it's time now for the parents to take control of their and they're paying for it. You parents have been paying for it for years. We have all been paying for it. That's why we are getting away from our TV, our cables and our digitals and stuff like that so that we can have our own programs that we can be in control of, and our children can have fun, and they can be creative again, and they can do things and grow, you know, and we as Americans can put other people to work and help other people have jobs and stuff with us and everything. And we have a whole thing lined up in Houston, and it's going to be good for the children. It's going to be good for the moms and dads. And we're even inviting the 2016 presidential candidates to have a national conversation online with the parents, moms and dads of Stop Common Core, pro-life groups, homeschool groups, just moms and dads who need to know what's going on, people, parents in the central cities who can't get off their jobs but want help for their kids. You know, it's time to go to work. Roll up the sleeves and let's get to work. So $10, $25 packages, the launching of the Breaking News Journal TV channel, all of these things combined together is way worth it for you to save your child, which in return will save the family, in return which will save the country.
Whew, there you go. And it started with $10. Well, really, it started with a lot of faith in God, Ruthie, and I appreciate you.
It started with years of hard work and labor and love.
Well, it's all worth it because, you know, I like what Professor Milgram said when I heard him on Alice's show last week. Mm. I was once a child, too. You know, and you know, this is the professor that developed the best math standards in the country. Now telling parents, if you can homeschool your children, homeschool them. Because if you have 4 years of this Common Core math, that child, the damage will be irreversible. That's pretty hard to take. But when you've got an expert who forums standards, he knows. He has seen what they're teaching. And he said they've seen it in California. It's the Phil Darrow leadership. And he had to come and fix it. And they said you could try to give them the best textbooks, but if they've had 4 years, it's like a plant. You know, you break a plant if you try to force it the other way. That's what they're doing to the child's mind.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
God.
That child's mind is being forced to grow the wrong way, and when you try to fix it, you will break it. But
well, see,
by the grace
why,
of God, I'm just going to go
ahead,
Ruthie.
No, I was just going to say that's why Professor White and you've even been talking about, you know, we've got to let the kids to know that these guys are trying to trick them. See, that may be the saving grace for those who are in the schools until we can get them out, is to tell them, hey, you're being tricked. So you can play along with the trick if you want to, and then we'll make sure you get the right answer. Because the fact that they're implying that you even if you have the wrong answer, that you might get a good grade, that implies that there is a right answer. And you need to know what that right answer is. So just block your mind to whatever they're coming up with in the schools until you get home. And parents can get information from about other ways that their children can be taught while they're at work or whatever. Even when they come home, they can help them with other things. We have resources that these parents can get a hold to so that they can block whatever is trying to happen in the schools with Common Core until we can get those kids out.
Oh, I so appreciate the ubiquitous learning channel is coming up, folks. And, you know, Ruthie, I think I really have a good feeling about this. Not really good feeling. I have faith in God. You know, he's making a way. He has heard the cries of parents. You know, he knows not everybody can be homeschooled. And even homeschooled, if we don't change the government thinking of encroachment, that too will be gone, just like, you know, in other countries we're seeing it now.
Amen.
But in the private school, you know, tutoring, you would think, well, I could send them to a tutor. Well, tutors are also being forced to teach Common Core math.
Yep.
So, folks, and I think Joan Landis simplified it. She said, you know, it's going to make children easily manipulated, easily led, easily triggered. You know, kind of like when people are stressed out. Have you ever noticed when you're stressed out, it doesn't take much to set you off?
Yeah,
you get mad at people
really
that don't deserve to be, you know, for you to get mad at because you're under such stress. So this is, folks, can you imagine you're doing this to a child for 12, 13 years? What's that? What's going to happen? So this is what she's warning. We have got to get this, you know, directed the other way. And I know it takes God. God is a miracle maker. You know, and Ben Carson's mother, I just love her story, because then, you know, here's these two boys who were supposedly the dunce in the class. They were not going to amount to anything, you know, just wear dunce cap. But his mother, you know, acted on faith. She did not even, I think she did not even have a fifth grade education, just very, you know, not much education. Mm-hmm. She couldn't read, but she knew she had enough wisdom. And isn't that wonderful? Because God says the beginning of wisdom is the fear and awe of the Lord. And that's what the movie War Room really is about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that's where the wisdom came to save that family, was in the fear and awe of the Lord. And so they bent their knees.
Oh, my God. You know what? You just hit on something. We need to have more movies that show even those people and parents that, like, were uneducated. I think Ben Carson's mother was uneducated. My mother was uneducated. She only went to the second grade. She did not like school, and she wanted to stay home and work the field with her father. And she didn't, and my auntie went to school and, you know, learned all the math and things like that. But my mother did not have any interest in school, but she had a lot of wisdom in God. And for 20 years before she died, all that came on her lips were the praises of God. And she showed everything that there was a problem. She said that the Lord would take care of it all, and you put your trust in him, baby, and he's going to take care of all those things. She didn't know how to read, but the things that she was talking about was definitely from the Word of God.
Oh, wow. She had the wisdom. Because isn't that wonderful? That's where true wisdom comes from anyway. The Bible tells us, right?
That's right.
We're
true
wisdom,
right.
But we're too smart. We don't read the Bible because we're so smart we already have all the answers. That's what some people think, right, Ruthie? I have got my PhD, or I've got my mansion, so I must be rich because I'm filthy rich, you know. I mean, but you know, they forget that the Bible says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world?
To gain the whole world,
but
lose
his soul." And I love this story. In closing, I will share this story, since Miss Barbara Morris is not here, our history teacher that I just so love. She tells about the story. Let's see, I think it was Emperor Charlemagne. I think that's the one she's talking about. But there was an emperor, I'll tell two stories now. There's an emperor that when he died, they put him in his finest raiment. And they said normally he didn't dress like that, you know. But when he died, he wanted to be in his best raiment with a Bible and his fingers pointing to that
scroll. Wow.
Now that's a true measure of a man, isn't it? The one that fears the Lord.
That fears the Lord, amen.
And that, Ms. Barbara could tell the story with so much more details. I think you encourage even girls to go to school to learn. So, you know, it's just, that's what happens when you're tied and yoked to the Lord. You know, there's freedom for others, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. So what a beautiful thing. And I think there's one more story. I may have to save it because I done forgot it. wait a second. I'll tell a little bit of it. And this one is, I read this from Colonel Ismo's blog. I just remember a little bit of it. But it's kind of the same story. And it's like, I think there is there's a kingdom in Europe where, you know, in part of the coronation or something like that, they have to go through this tradition of going to knock at a big gate. And then they first off, they cite, who are I'm the daughter of the blah, 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 and I'm this and that, you know. And it's like they don't let them in, and it's like, I never knew you, you know. And then on the second time, something like that again. But in the third time, or the time that they do open the door, is when they pretty much say that they're a humble this and that, you know.
Whoa.
And then they're allowed to come in, and they're crowned. But isn't that what's going to happen
down
in heaven?
It's like a dumbing down.
Well, it's a humble. I think it's almost a picture of heaven. You know, the proud will never enter heaven.
Of heaven. Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful how the Bible says that? The proud will never enter heaven.
Ah, that's true.
I may not be quoting the exact words, but I think it's something
to that. I know what you're talking about. We've got to humble ourselves.
And I think, you know, this is, we've got to turn things around. And, folks, it takes God. Just like in the movie Worm, it takes God. You really, if you want to save your marriage, you want to save your family, you have to humble yourself and ask the maker of heaven and earth, the one that they say did not make it because we came from a goo out in the ocean, or maybe we're part ape or part frog. Yeah, you're really akin to a frog or an ape. So, you know, we have to humble ourselves to realize that the Bible, the greatest book ever made, right, God's love letter, that, you know, the story that what the disciples, when they saw Jesus, you know, resurrected, you know, they were before the resurrection, they were just mealy-mouthed men wanting to, you know, disassociate themselves from him, right, when he got killed. But when they saw that he was risen, even Peter said, you know, hang me upside down because I'm not worthy to die like my master did, you know. Something changed. And that's the power, I think, that the war room, you know, really gives us an inkling of, is something changes when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And I'm a prayer journal person, Ruthie. I've been journaling.
You sure are.
I'm so proud of it. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to journal. But I really, that resonates with me because I believe God wants to point you to what you asked of him. And I remember writing 22 times in one day, and I worked just trying to see how many things God's going to answer for me that I requested, you know. He answered every one. I had to quit because I've already put down 22 things, you know. So God is a God that wants, I think he loves for you to write it, just like the Jewish nation wrote the Bible. Mm-hmm. He wants you to see how he brought you through, because if we don't have these written accounts, how would we remember? You know, if we don't have these accounts, how would we remember and can point to somebody, see what God says about fornication, see what he says about homosexuality, see how God brought them out of Egypt, see
he
how God used 300 men.
He did it all the time. He did it with Moses. You know, Moses listened to him and wrote, and Isaiah did, you know, and King David did, you know, even Solomon did. You know, he was a man after God's own, you know, I think David was the God, a man after God's own heart, but or Solomon was the one who asked for wisdom, but, you know, Solomon got sidetracked, you know, but his even the accounting of what happened to him is written, you know what I'm saying, so we can understand, and, you know, Solomon got bitter in the days because he had gone away from God. You know what I'm saying? He had everything. In the beginning, he asked for wisdom. But then he decided he had his own wisdom. And he went and worshipped other gods with the wives that he had that were worshiping other gods. And that was a no-no.
And so we understand why it's harder for a rich man to enter heaven. It is hard to let go of stuff, but I love it. What was it that I think she said in the show? I'd rather have a man that chase after God than to have a mansion full of stuff or a house full of stuff or something like that.
Amen.
You know, that's what I think that's one of the reasons it's a hit, you know?
Amen.
Well, Ruthie, as always, we have talked ourselves into another show. So that's all. We forgot to pray in the beginning. We got so caught up with all that we forgot to pray. But we need to pray now. You know, we are asking God for a miracle that these children can be saved, families can be saved, and you want to start off, Ruthie?
I am. And before we get started in prayer, I want to let everybody know if you're going to listen to Breaking News Journal tomorrow at 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, we are going to have the 16-year-old from the big story that you guys have heard about. She wanted to have a pro-life club, and she was told that she couldn't have one. And the Thomas More Society took on her case, and she won the case, and her name is Angelique Clarkson, and she will be on Breaking News Journal on air tomorrow at 2 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, so look it up, and we look forward to seeing you. So yes, ma'am, I will start praying.
Well, Ruthie, that's going to be fantastic. Oh, Ruthie, I just want to stress that because you've got pro-lifers because, you know, that issue is so dear to all of us, really.
Yes.
And you've got to stop Common Core, folks. So, folks, a lot of people's going to be watching the live stream of itsaboutthechild.com conference. Please share it, and you need to watch it. Find out why is this Common Core a national number one issue. You ask moms out there with children. You ask them, and you're going to find that the majority of them are livid about this issue. So anyway, go ahead, Ruthie. Sorry.
Okay, amen. And send this video to this audio to everybody you know so that they can get a grasp on it. Lord, we just come before your throne. We thank you so much for today's program. We pray for TC and that you bless him to come on at a later time, and we would really drum it up the next time about war rooms. We know that he's in high demand and everything, but Lord Jesus, open up that door for us to be able to interview him, the other stars of the program, and the directors and producers of War Room, so we can get a better understanding of what's happening and a lot of the behind the scenes things that happens in a movie like that, and what the motives were, and how so that you can learn how we are going to change our society and our world. And the War Room is a perfect example. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will completely guide all the people that are listening to this program, and Diana, and I look forward to us sharing a program again in the near future, and may God have his angels around everybody. Have a great evening.